Philippians chapter 3. I've decided to preach tonight. And if he comes while I'm preaching, Brother Dunn will take over the message and finish the balance of it and conduct the rest of the service, give the invitation, and as far as I'm concerned, he can do whatever he wants to do with this church at that point. I'm going out of here. Philippians chapter 3. Your wife's going too. No, she's going, so you're on your own. Philippians chapter 3. Brother Dunn's going too. Amen. Let's look now, if we would, at verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, help me as I handle the word of God today. I pray that you will cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. And help me to preach it with fervency and power. Thank you for the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Everything changed. Everything changed. The day Paul met Jesus, everything changed. The day you met Jesus, everything changed. Pastor, you don't know my story. Everything didn't change. Well, I don't know who you met. It doesn't mean you quit sinning. It doesn't mean you started doing everything right. But I'm just trying to tell you everything changed. You got changed from the inside. And somehow change on the inside creeps its way to the outside. There's so much of religion that's rehabilitating and conforming the outside. And I'm here to tell you, Christianity on the outside will never penetrate the inside, but Christianity on the inside will never be held without getting to the outside. And thank God for inside, outside Christianity. So Paul said, I changed. God changed me. Everything changed. He shifted my perspective. I changed the way I counted. I changed the way I viewed things. He gave me a sincere passion. I quit trying to gain things and I started trying to gain him. I'm not working for my salvation, but now that I am saved, every day I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I don't just want to know it intellectually. I want to know it practically. I don't just want to be able to quote scripture. I want to be able to live scripture. I wish somebody would say amen there. We know more Bible than most of the world will ever read, but you don't live for God because you know the Bible. You live for God because you live the Bible. Paul said, the only way to have power in my life is to know the one from whom that power flows. I want to know him. Last week, Paul gave us, if you would, his sensible persuasion. He said, I won't attain the resurrection of the dead. I'd be okay with dying here on earth and being raised. It would get me closer to knowing him. But then last week he gave us a sensible persuasion and said, I understand I have not attained. I'm not done. I'm not finished. I've not yet arrived. I don't have it all down pat. Though I have a few witnesses in the house that could agree with Paul, I don't have it all down pat. However, I follow after. I haven't figured it out, but I'm trying to. Somebody say amen. I haven't gotten it all together, but I'm working on it. I haven't nailed it all down, but I'm swinging the hammer. I haven't won everybody to the Lord, but I'm going to sure witness to him. I'm not giving like I should, but I'm trying to give more. I'm not praying like I'd love to, but I'm trying to pray more. I haven't read as much Bible as I could, but I'm trying to read more. My 2018 wasn't everything that it was I wanted it to be, but I can assure you, I'm working at it. I'm working at it. I'm working. I'm going to tell you something. I have very little tolerance for someone who bellyaches about what he's not, but never does anything about it. You'll get a lot of respect out of me if at least you're trying to do something. Amen. I don't know where this philosophy is and where it's coming from in life, that nobody wants to try anything because they're too worried about failing. Come on, listen to me. I'd rather fail trying than never try at all. I'm working at it. I'm working at it, and I'm working at this thing with the sensible persuasion, because I have a specialized purpose. I have been apprehended, and now I'm trying to do the apprehending. All right, now, he said, now, in order to save me, Jesus had to get a hold of me. And he said, now that Jesus got a hold of me, I'm trying to get a hold of whatever Jesus got a hold of me to get a hold of. Somebody say amen. God saved me for a purpose, purpose, purpose. We learned last week that life's fulfillment can only be experienced when we are living out our purpose. And by the way, God has a purpose for every single believer. Those general purposes that God gives us will lead us to more specific purposes. Pastor, I'm not sure of my purpose. He wants every Christian reading the Bible. He wants every Christian praying. He wants every Christian faithful to church. He wants every Christian loving his neighbor. He wants every Christian telling the truth. Come on. He wants every Christian giving properly. He wants every Christian to be a soul winner. I hate to bust your bubble. God didn't call some to soul win and some to sit. God called every redeemed child of God to tell somebody what God did for you. When you start living out the general word of God, you will understand the specific word of God. Stop sitting in your desk waiting to hear something for extra credit when you didn't even get the bold print terms down. I'm chasing something. I'm trying to live out my purpose because God saved me for a purpose. Now, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I call this, if you would, a full pause. This is what I call, I'll take this down if you're writing notes down. I'm sorry. Write this down as a single-minded pursuit. A single-minded pursuit. We derive this point from the phrase, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Singular, single-minded. Now, I'm just going to say this because I believe it's true. Some Christians never catch anything because they're chasing too many things. Some of you missed what I said. Some people don't ever catch anything because they're chasing too many things. Maybe it sounds better this way. Some people never get any fish to bite on their line because they got too many lines and too many ponds. Is anybody listening to me? Some people never get good at anything because they're trying to get good at too many. So listen to me. I'm simply saying unless we learn how to get single-minded in our pursuit, some Christians are so scatterbrained. They're so all over the place. They're so hit and miss and here and there and everywhere. Paul said, this one thing I do. In other words, I got to hone in, narrow down, dial up. I need laser-like direction in my life. Single-minded. This one thing I do. Well, here's where I want to talk about this full pause. Look at this pause he does in 13. I count not myself to have apprehended. Hold, stop, stop. It's almost like he's saying, before I tell you what I'm single-mindedly pursuing, he said, let me just stop and say, I'm going to treat my life as if up to this point, I've accomplished nothing. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Full pause. Now, let me tell you what Paul could have done. He could have stopped from where he was and looked back and listed to himself everything he'd accomplished. From the moment he got saved on the road to Damascus until the moment he was writing this letter from a prison cell, I would say, from a human being's perspective, and a child of God, Paul doing pretty good. I mean, most of us would only dream to accomplish in the rest of our lives what Paul had accomplished up to this point. Think about all the letters he'd already written, all the people he'd already won to the Lord, all the churches he had already planted, all the converts he had already discipled, all the men he had already impacted, all of the mentors he had already encouraged. If anybody should have been ready for retirement and to slow down in his walk with the Lord, it was the Apostle Paul. But he said, at this stage in my life, I am so in love with Jesus. I am so serious about my Christian life. I am so driven to live my purpose. I'm going forward today like I've never done one thing. Wow. One of the biggest deterrents for children of God doing more for God is contentment. I mean, good gracious alive. You here three times a week. You're in this many ministries. You invest in this many lives. You give this much. It's about time for somebody else to do something. I mean, you work hard. I mean, you pray. I mean, you've been serving God. I mean, you hear when other people aren't. You do what others won't do. Surely, that's mad. That counts for something. Paul, listen to me. Here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, although I have done things for God, when I start living like I'm apprehended, I am shortchanging my action for God in the future. In other words, I can't be happy about what I've done. I gotta live today like I've done nothing, so tomorrow I'll do more than I've ever done. That's a full pause. This one thing I do. Full pause. Write this down. Forgotten past. Brethren, count not myself to have apprehended this one thing I do. Now, what's the one thing? He hadn't gotten to it yet. But these next two things that he says are things that he must take care of if he's going to be able to stick to that one thing. No, Pastor, why do I have problems being single-minded in my pursuits as a child of God? Well, it could be you are too stuck on your past. Well, Pastor, I mean, I just can't get it off my mind. Well, if you can't get it off your mind, then that explains why your mind is not single-minded in your focus. What'd you mess up at? Where did you fail? What did you do that you wish you didn't do? What did you not do that you wish you did? Where did you stumble? Where did you sin? Where did you complain when you should have been thankful? Where did you pout when you should have praised? Where were you stingy when you should have been selfless? And how many times did you bite your tongue when you should have told somebody about Jesus? As we get to the end of the year, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we regret. Paul said, if my mind is going to be single in the way that I think and in the way I pursue, I have to forget it. By the way, you can't just forget your trials and your tragedies and your troubles and your tests. But you better learn how to forget some of your triumphs too. Don't forget what God did for you, but you better learn how to forget what you did for God. Well, I thought you said one of the biggest challenges in life is contentment. It is. Listen to me. Past will have you content at where you are and not going forward because you'll be so guilty on what you did before. Triumphs will have you content because you'll be so happy that you did something, you won't think you need to do anything else. Some Christians, every time you talk to them, it's always about what they used to do, who they used to lead to the Lord, what ministry they used to be involved in, what they used to learn when they went out on visitation, how much they used to enjoy the choir, how many kids they used to bring in their bus route, how much they used to give, how many people they used to disciple, how their prayer life used to be boisterous, and what happened? What happened? Did God die? No. Did the Bible change? No. The world get worse? Yes. But if you read your Bible, it was bad then. I think we're a little presumptuous to act like we're the first generation that ever had to serve God in a bad world. I mean, just listen to the way we talk sometimes. Things get so bad now. I tell you what. I mean, just serving God in the 21st century, in this day and age, where you see. I want you to study. Study modern culture in the United States of America today and tell me one sin that America is guilty of that didn't exist in Scripture. As a matter of fact, not only did it exist in Scripture, but it existed in Scripture in those cultures without the tools and the resources that you and I have. They evangelized the modern world without gospel tracts, without the internet, without radio, without television. Come on. And yet everybody, everywhere in the New Testament church age, as Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, everyone had heard the gospel. You and I can never leave our house and have the gospel travel all the way across the ocean. What is the holdup? Well, the world was so bad. So how many of you done got burned for preaching? Fed to lions. Who in this room has been thrown in jail for preaching the gospel? Oh, somebody slammed the door. Somebody said, some manager at the apartment complex came outside and said, you're not allowed to do that. Don't you see the signs that no say no solicitation? Is that what you call persecution? Your friends called you weird? Your peers called you stuck up? Come on. Some of you people in your own church think you're a little too outdated. That's what you call persecution. Paul was in jail for doing what's right. Paul did more in his life for Christ than probably all of us will do combined. And yet he said, I'm willing not just the bad stuff, but even the good stuff to forget about it. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth under those things which are before. So, forgotten past. But he says, I have a focused prospect. Here it is. Reaching forth under those things which are before. Listen to me, beloved. If we are going to let the signs of the times, the wickedness in our world, the attacks of Satan, the intensity of spiritual warfare, to get us to lay back and not drive forward for God, we're going to let the devil score all the offensive points, and all we're going to be doing is with our backs to the wall trying to play defense. I want to tell you something. Defense is necessary, but defense is not the only part of the game. One thing about good defense is it opens the door to have some offense. And I'm telling you, we have too many Christians that are standing back going, oh me, oh my, I can't do it. It can't be accomplished. I messed up. It never happens again. I'm not worthy enough to serve God. Paul said, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I wonder if there's anybody in the building at Crossroads Baptist Church who's determined by the grace of God that in the year 2019 I'm going to win more people to the Lord than I ever have before. I'm going to read more Bible than I ever have before. I'm going to spend more time in prayer with God than I ever have before. I'm going to impact people like I never have before. But pastor, I'm working more hours. I have more debt. I'm dealing with more burdens. My body isn't as sharp as it used to be. My mind doesn't remember like it once remembered. I've got more responsibilities. I'm married now. I got kids on the way. I got pressures that I never have before. Yeah, but you got the Holy Ghost of God. You got more grace. You got mercy. You got more opportunities, and you got oxygen in your lungs. Go forward for God. There's such a spirit that exists in Christianity today that's so laid back. I've never been around so many people of God They're so laid back. Unaggressive. Melancholy. Lackadaisical. Listen. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, where are the Christians in 2018 that are go-getters? I don't know where they are. It's hard to find them. Now listen. They'll land somewhere if you throw them. Do you realize that you don't get credit for landing somewhere if somebody pick you up and throw you? And chances are you won't go anywhere else till that same person picks you up and throw. Listen to me. Here's what Paul said. I ain't trying to be thrown somewhere. I'm trying to go somewhere. Reaching forth. Is there anything on your horizon? I'm closing because you all didn't talk long. But I want to pose this question to you. Do you have any goals? Yeah. Goals. I'm not motivationally speaking. I'm preaching Bible. Pastor, I feel like in 2018 I didn't go anywhere. Can I tell you why most people won't ever go anywhere? Because they never reach for nothing. Listen to the words. Reaching forth unto those things which are, listen to the contrast, forgetting behind, reaching, some of you don't understand old English, forget the stuff that's back there and reach for the stuff that's up here. Anybody listen? In other words, I'm not retreating, I'm going forward. Amen. Do you have any goals? We are children with a flesh. And listen to me, the flesh is never self-motivated for spiritual things. I want you to answer these questions inside your own heart, between you and God. How long have you been saved? How long have you been a member of a good church? How long have you been in a place where you know the truth? Have you answered those questions in your mind? And let me ask a question. Are you involved in the ministry? Well, Pastor, what that got to do with coming to church? Listen, if you understand the biblical pattern of scriptural growth, the pastor's job is to mend you, and he is to mend you so that you can minister. If you have been mended with the word of God and you are yet ministering, then that will explain why you are not maturing. Did you ask the question, how long you been saved? How long you been in good church? How long you been privy to the truth? Here's the next question. How long have you owned a Bible? And how many do you have? Do you have it on your phone? And if you don't, how hard is it to get it? I hate to bust your bubble. You can download one for free. Several. And if you can't see, you can download one with big print. So, you own a Bible. How long has it been since you owned a Bible that somebody told you that the Bible was God's words written to you? Hold your Bible up. This is a spare one down here on the front. You can find spare ones all over the church because people don't have to change much on their agenda if they leave their Bible at church. But they'll come back to church for their phone. Yeah, I'm closing, but the FAA said the runway was already occupied, so we're in a holding pattern. I really am landing. We're right outside Washington, D.C., and as soon as they clear the runway, I'm telling you, we put this plane down. But right now, something's blocking my landing, so we're just in a holding pattern. I'm just simply saying what matters to you the most is what you cannot stand to be without. Amen. Preach, Pastor! So, copy of the Bible. How long has it been since somebody told you all scriptures given by inspiration of God and you were informed that this very book was written to you? In your mind, answer it. Okay. Now, here's the last question I want you to answer. How many Christians in the building have never read the whole Bible? Well, Pastor, I read Psalms and Proverbs. Yeah. So has the devil. Well, Pastor, I'm not in Bible college. He didn't write the Bible college students. He wrote the Christians. Now let me ask you a question. If somebody you love sent you a letter, how long would you keep it before you read the whole thing? especially if you had multiple copies of it. I mean, it could go with you when you couldn't carry it. It went where your phone went. You could access it from every location. Come on now, you can go to Starbucks and get Wi-Fi. And you don't even need your Bible to do that. I have a Bible. I'm aware God wrote it. And I'm aware that the Bible that God wrote was written to me. And yet I have finished another year with a letter from God with parts in it I've yet to read. Pastor, why have I not read the whole Bible? Because you've never set goals. Another year of a lousy marriage. Another year of no soul winning. Another year of hit and miss giving. Well, you'd give to God like you pay your rent, you'd be a regular tither. But you won't set any goals. Amen. I keep forgetting. You ever thought about pulling it out on Saturday? I'm always late. You set any goals not to be? No, because I'm too busy patting myself on the back. At least I made it. You can't live that way. At least I'm married. You keep living at least marriage for long, you won't even be married. Marriage, listen, marriage it only flourishes when I'm reaching forth under those things which are before. I'm reaching forth. I've been married 20 years, 30 years, 40. I don't care if you've been married 60 years. You ought to live in your 61st year like you ain't been married no years and reach under those things which are before. Where are your goals? Set some goals. I want you to go home this week. And as you close the year, next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on Sunday morning. And I want you to be here on Sunday morning because I don't know what I'm going to title it. But within the message, I'm going to deal with the subject, where are we going? And before I tell you where we're going, I'm going to clarify some places where we're not going. So I want you to come. I want you to come. Because before you get in that car in the slug line, you better ask the driver where he's headed. And if you don't want to go where he's going, it don't make no sense to get in the car. I want you to go home and set some goals. You and your wife, keep talking about what you ain't going to never be, what you don't like. Sit down together and set some goals. Set some goals for your kids. Set some goals for your spiritual education. I've known people that have big dreams and no goals. They have written out, listen, by the way, this just came to me. Dream without goals is simply a fantasy. Anybody can have a fantasy, but most fantasies never happen. Dreams come true, not by luck. Dreams come true by work, preparation, prayer, persistence. Come on now, passion. Stop thinking that everybody that's where you want to be got it handed to them. Some people are living where you want to live because they worked hard and they sweat and they cried and they labored and they prayed. Nobody handed them anything. God blesses obedience. I'm reaching. And now I'm landing. If Paul, who had done more than most of us will ever do, was still reaching. What's wrong with us? How can we not be reaching forward when the one who outreached us was still reaching? By the grace of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, but in cooperation with his help, we must engage our commitment and our decision to reach. And if you don't ever reach for anything, please don't be surprised why you never grab it. Father, help us. We ought to want to do more than we've ever done. Sometimes we're going to have to admit somewhere along the line, we stopped reaching. We live too much of the Christian life with this mantra. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. Now Paul, reaching forth. God, give us a more forward reach in the days to come than we've ever had before. In Jesus' name, amen.